One of the most beautiful, calming places on the face of this earth is the Sea of Galilee. Now, I'm not lying to you when I tell you, when I read anything in the Bible that has to do with the Galilee region, I am instantly transported there. It is amazingly beautiful, and I need to tell you that it is magnificent. There's flora and fauna from all over the world, or there's flora and fauna that went out all over the world. It's hard to know which way it was, but it's magnificent. Just being able to wake up in the morning and look out on the Sea of Tiberias, the Lake Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, has many names. To look at that with the mist on the water and look at the Golan Heights, I can most certainly understand why Jesus created such a place and the beauty he enjoyed during his time near here. One place that for me stands out is an interesting name called Tabgha, which is on the northwestern shore of the sea. It's not very far from Capernaum. It's best known for Christ's miraculous multiplication of loaves and fish to feed a multitude. But it's also remembered for Jesus' third appearance to his disciples after his resurrection. Tabgha is a mispronunciation of a Greek word meaning seven springs. Because you see, there are several warm sulfur springs entering the lake there, and it attracts the fish, especially in winter. It is an amazingly popular, or it was an amazingly popular fishing place in the time of Jesus. Tabgha is only slightly different today than since Jesus' day. The water level is significantly lower since the Sea of Galilee, or Lake Tiberias, is the source of drinking water for all of Israel. And also Jordan gets some of it too. Another change is the building on the grounds for the Church of Peter's Primacy, since this is the place where Jesus reinstated Peter by asking him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" I'm not kidding when I tell you, I could literally spend hours there. Just thinking of John chapter 21, or just thanking God for such a magnificent place. Should you ever go to the Holy Land, this place is not to be missed. Just down the hill from the mountain where Jesus preached the Beatitudes. You'd be surprised at how close together all these different places are. Well, they had a walk there. So it's really amazing. The beauty and peacefulness of this place makes you wonder how magnificent it must have been to enjoy a sunrise, seeing the sun come up over the Golan Heights, reflecting on this lake. This is the scene for today's Holy Gospel. John chapter 21, verse 4 tells it's early in the morning. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. You might be wondering, why did the apostles go fishing in the first place? Well, I think that since it was long before the day of Pentecost, but also before Jesus' ascension, they wanted to get back home from Jerusalem to the place that they knew best, doing the thing that most of them knew best, trying to get on with their lives, not knowing what was coming next. They're on the sea just when the dawn was breaking, and the beautiful colors of daylight were filling their view. And they must have been so tired, having tried all night with their light shining to attract the fish. But they caught nothing. Like the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus and Mary in the garden by the tomb, they didn't recognize that it was Jesus right away. So he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they said. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Now, this must have triggered a memory for them, because what happened 3 years earlier, recorded in Luke chapter 5, verse 4, Jesus got into Peter's boat after Peter and his men had been out all night. And he told Simon Peter, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. God's still in the miracle business. Did you know that? The memory of this caused John, the apostle that Jesus loved. And by the way, you'll always find that in the Gospel of John, that he'll never say "I" or refer to himself in the first person. He'll always refer to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was a mere teenager, and Jesus took a tremendous liking to him, especially over all of the other disciples. But that triggered his memory and caused him to see the risen Jesus and saying, "It is the Lord." Well, as soon as Simon Peter heard him say this, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and he jumped into the water. Before we go any further, I believe that there are two important messages to be learned from what we've talked about so far this morning. If you remember last week's Holy Gospel in John chapter 20, Jesus met with all the disciples, including Thomas, the second time, and gave them the power to forgive sins. He breathed the Holy Spirit upon them, preparing them for their beginning of their ministry journey without him. This week's gospel reminds them and us that if we try to do it our own way, we'll fail. These apostles worked all night and got nothing. But when they listened to Jesus' voice, doing what he says, the results were remarkable. There's absolutely no telling what can be done through the power of his love and just a smidge of obedience. The second message that we're to learn from this first part is that up to this point, the disciples had caught nothing until Jesus gave them direction. And it's very important for you and I to understand the way Jewish fishermen thought in Jesus' day. They would take off from the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum, and those places, heading towards the middle, out to the deepest water. The western shore was considered the Jewish side of the lake. And so they would go out and they would always point their boat north. Pointing north. They would throw their nets off the left-hand side of the boat towards the Jewish side so that they could catch what they would consider Jewish fish. Right, Holly? Jewish fish. After fishing all night and coming up empty, Jesus gave them specific instructions. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. The right side of the boat was something that they usually didn't do. But they did what they were told. The right side of the boat faced the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, the Gentile side of the lake, where the Decapolis was, and the Decapolis means 10 pagan cities, where the Gadarenes were. Do you remember the story about Legion, the demons that were driven into the pigs, into the swine? Well, we know it had to be a pagan area because Jewish people did not keep pigs. There were no pigs anywhere near Jews. So Jesus' instructions were, in essence, telling the apostles that they were no longer only trying to catch Jewish fish, but also they should be looking towards the Gentiles as well. They did what he told them to do, and they caught such a large number of fish that they were unable to haul the net in. Ironically, not long after this, in the Galilee region on a hill, before Jesus ascended to the Father from the Mount of Olives near Jerusalem, Jesus met with the disciples, as is recorded in Matthew chapter 28. And he told them, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." The important key word here, amongst some very powerful instructions, is the word nations, which in Jesus' day referred to the Gentiles. There were new rules to their mission, not just Israel. Jesus was telling them that they were to preach his gospel to the whole world. And very soon, they would be given an incredible boldness, a new desire, and spiritual gifts to do just what the Holy Spirit filled them to do on the day of Pentecost. 50 days after the day of the first fruits. The first fruits is Easter Sunday. But wait, I'm not done. It sounds like one of those commercials, but wait, there's still more. There's so much more for us to look at that took place on that morning at Tabgha. Peter recognized Jesus and he jumped into the water to go and greet him. We're looking at old impetuous Peter here, was first out of the boat again, just like when he went to meet Jesus, when Jesus was walking upon the water. The other disciples, they stayed in the boat and brought it to shore, towing the nets that were full of fish, the net. There was a charcoal fire, just like in the courtyard when Peter denied Jesus. 153 fish, by the way, is just to signify that there were more fish than the net could hold. More fish than could feed the entire nearby village of Capernaum. And this must certainly have jogged Peter's memory. Jesus is cooking bread and fish already. I need to tell you this morning. He doesn't really need their catch, but he welcomes it just the same. The Apostle John is telling us something about working under the leadership of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus does not need us to change the world, but he invites us to be a part of it. How often do we hear that Jesus needs us to be his hands and feet? There's an amazing contemporary Christian song from years ago by a group called Audio Adrenaline. And it goes, "I want to be your hands, I want to be your feet. I'll go where you send me, I'll go where you send me." Those words are very careful to listen to. They're not saying, "I need to be your hands and feet," or "you need me to be your hands and feet." I want to be your hands and feet, and I'll go where you send me, obediently. God spoke creation of this world into being with what? A word. He doesn't need our help, but he invites us to be a part of it. How often do we go out and think we're operating under our own power? He invites us to be with him on the journey. He welcomes what we do. He welcomes our catch. And he wants our efforts to be the best efforts, not half-hearted. Now, a church has been built on the site, and it's called the Church of Peter's Primacy. It's also called Mensa Christa. The rock in the middle of the church floor is believed to be the place where Jesus prepared breakfast. And Mensa Christa means the table of Christ. Shortly after today's Holy Gospel, when the meal was done, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, Simon Bar-Jonah, do you truly love me more than these?" Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus replied, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care or tend my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. Now, let's stop here for a second. The three times that Peter denied Jesus, the third time he got angry and he cursed. And he denied more vehemently. Listen to what he says the third time Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now remember, Peter denied Jesus three times. Well, now Peter was asked three times by Jesus if he loved Jesus. And each time Peter was given an assignment. In doing so, Jesus was negating or overturning Peter's denial. But more importantly, if you listen to the words carefully, he's taking this fisher of men and transforming him from being the lead fisherman to the chief shepherd, proving once again that Jesus is merciful and forgiving, even something as horrible as denying him three times. This is a powerful lesson for each one of us. God's mercy knows no limits. And when we respond to his calling, he will enable us, he will give us a covering of his love, and he will use us for his glory and his kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.